Man. All right, I want to read from Matthew chapter 6, and I'll start reading at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For he will either hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Come on down to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, no anxious thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. Now, very, very interesting teaching here. So we're talking about the kingdom of God, and particularly in this particular teaching today, we're going to talk about working the system. Working the system. Now, we said the kingdom of God is a new reality. We said it's the realm, the reign of God, the dominion of God, the authority of God. We said it's also the anointing of God or the power of God. It is the reality of God, and it's the government of God. We said it's also the system of God. Now, it's God's system. It's God's way of doing things. God's way of doing and being right, it says in the Amplified in 633, Matthew 633. So now, as we look at this, what he said is, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, God's plan for earth to be like heaven. And he started out that way, and here's Adam, and there was gold in the earth, gold in heaven, streets of gold. There's pearls, there's pearls. There's trees, there's trees. There's cities, there's cities. And the earth was to be like heaven. Now, as he made this, now through Adam's sin, the earth got corrupted. So now we don't see that like heaven. But God never gave up on what he planned. He said, I pray now thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray that way. Somebody said, well, it's not that way now. He said, pray that way. Because God still desires for earth to be like heaven. Heaven has no disease. Heaven has no poverty. Heaven has no debt. You know what I mean? Heaven has no war, whatever have you. God plans for the earth to still be like that. So he said, pray that way. Now, as we look at this, Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God or the government of God back to the earth. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan was the god of this world. Let me add one word, system. He was a god of this world system. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus relates to Satan as his kingdom. He said, if Satan be set against Satan, how then can his kingdom stand? So he gave Satan credit for building a kingdom. And what did he use to build a kingdom? Deceive people. He used people in this earth who were not walking in revelation knowledge to actually build his kingdom. Now, when we say that, we're saying that once you come into the kingdom of God and you're living according to kingdom principles, then you're living on another level of a realm of existence. In other words, you're living on another realm of understanding. You're living on another realm of wisdom, another level of victory, another level of joy, prosperity, another level of power, another level of peace and promotion, another level of knowledge, another level of knowledge. So now we're talking about living on another plane, living on a higher plane. Now just stay with me now, because I'm going somewhere with this. This is going to be very dynamic today, and by the way, if I step on your toes, God is a healer and he's in the house. He's going to heal your toes. Okay? Now, so now kingdom living is living where the word of God is more real than the circumstances or the environment that I'm in. So God wants you to go into this world, but be in it, but not what? Of this world. So God becomes your source and your supply. He's the one that takes care of every need that you've got. Now, in this, he's established a system, and he's put that system inside of us. Because that system ultimately will provide for us everything that we need in this earth. In other words, we'll be going around the system of the world and working through the system of God and manifesting heaven's supply in this earth. Now, as we look at that, this is a higher calling that God has called us to. And I'm telling you, it's a joy to really be able to preach this, because now I kind of, in some ways, see where God is going, because there's some things that he wants us to do. And he said that over here in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moths corrupt and thieves break through and steal and so forth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So he wants us to do business in heaven while we're still here in this earth. He wants our needs to be met when we need them met, independently of who's getting their needs met that are in the world. Are you with me so far? All right, so now, as we look at this, let's go over to 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Glory to God in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to know Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, realize this. And I covered some of this on Wednesday night. If you do good for you to get here on Wednesday night, don't forget this week there's our faith refresher Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6:30 each night. It does you good when you hear the word repeatedly in those environments. Sometimes you get a breakthrough like that. But anyway, when God is speaking and he's speaking to you, realize he's not speaking to your flesh. See, he's not talking to your flesh. He doesn't talk to flesh. He's talking to you. Now, where are you? You're inside of it. He's talking to you. Now, if he's talking to you, is he talking about to you based on what your flesh can do or what you can do? See, what you can do. So it's key that we understand that when Paul says with the heart man believes, he's not talking about the blood pump. He's talking about you. When he says, whosoever shall speak to this mountain, say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Shall not doubt where? In his heart. He's not talking about in his blood pump. He's talking about you. So that's why a lot of people, when the word of God comes forth, they want, I can't do that. The reason why you said you can't do that is because you let your flesh answer. And your flesh doesn't even know what you can do. The word flesh comes from the Greek soma, which means slave. See? The way you were designed is that your heart received from God. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are made in his image and his likeness. He didn't talk about your body. I mean, that'd be a monstrosity. A white head, black body, red waistline, yellow arms and feet. Come on, he didn't talk about that. He's talking about you. See? Now, the law of double reference says you've got three parts, and those three parts agree with the three parts of the Godhead. But he gave you that so that you know who he is. Is this making sense to you? So now, when people respond, many times they're responding out of their body, what their body said. And many of our times, our bodies and our minds have been trained. As a matter of fact, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing, reprogramming of the mind. Your mind can't get saved. Can only be reprogrammed. You ever notice that when you got saved, look like you still got some of them same desires sometimes you had when you wasn't? I mean, you feel happy for 2 weeks. And then after that, you want to go down to the club. I mean, yeah, you got to give me a drink here. I mean, you know, give me a hit off of something here. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying everybody have to do that, you know. I heard Dr. Dollar talking the other day. Somebody talking about, man, you better leave that stuff alone. I heard Bin Laden put some Amtrak in that stuff. He said, some Amtrak? That's a train, ain't it? Okay. All right, praise God. A little humor here. All right, now, you got to retrain that body. And recalibrate your mind.
That's right.
Because your mind, if you let it lead you, it's going to limit you. So now I got to give way to my spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to take what God has revealed to your spirit and help to retrain your mind to what you can really do. That's why Peter is in the boat. He was in the boat. He saw the Lord walking on water. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to show out.
No.
He was teaching. He was training. He was bringing us back up to where Adam was before the fall. When God walked and talked with Adam, he didn't talk with his flesh.
Right.
He was talking with Adam.
Right.
The Bible says, he that worships the Lord must worship him how?
In
flesh?
Spirit.
In spirit. You can't worship him in flesh. Don't accept flesh. Okay? I mean, when you leave this earth and go back to be with the Lord, where's your flesh going? Come on. Going back to the ground where it came from. He's not talking. So don't put yourself in that place of limiting God just because you're trying to gauge everything with your five physical senses and the reasoning that you got from a schoolhouse.
Amen.
The reason why you're in here is to get a higher knowledge.
Amen.
See? Now, so when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about spiritual reality. And we're talking about something that when you operate in it, you must operate in the spirit. Now, let's look at this verse. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. I'll read it here out of my King James Version. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now notice what it said. Flesh and blood can't get this stuff in the kingdom of God. It can't operate there. See? It cannot operate there. You cannot receive the inheritance that you have through your flesh. Do you got what I'm saying? Now, Satan, being the god of this world, he is the one who is operating over flesh. And he is a master deceiver. Anybody know the difference between a deceiver and a liar? Well, a liar knows he's lying. But usually a person who's deceived doesn't quite know that. As a man, they'll argue you down. Anybody in here ever been loud and wrong? You know what I mean? You done push your way up to the front. I know what I'm talking about. And just as wrong as two left shoes. What happened? You've been deceived. Eve was deceived. She didn't do it on purpose. She was deceived. But the Bible says Adam was not. Why? Because he had spiritual revelation. See? He was supposed to lead the household. But instead, ate out of house and home. Now, look what it says here. It said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Cannot. Now let's go over to another verse. Let's go over to Genesis. Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you. This is some good stuff we're getting into now. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, lust doesn't necessarily mean somebody lusting after somebody, like a man lusting after a woman or something. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means precious. Precious that can come on you even through this world. Are you following what I'm saying? Precious. Look what it says here. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. I mean, all I have to say in here is, okay, tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to go on a 3-day fast. Now, I say that. Let's say I said that. If I said that, what would your flesh try to do tonight? I mean, some of y'all, we'd have to send you some... Because that flesh knows that this thing is not good for me. Now the Spirit is rejoicing. Do you got what I'm saying? Because it's about to have to not put up with all that fight that the flesh has come, because fasting weakens the flesh, and so that the Spirit will become more dominant. That's when people don't hear from God, don't know what to do, and so forth like that. Just fast for 3 days. Watch what happened then. The flesh is talking so loud, and the folks can't hear the Spirit. God has a still small voice, but very powerful. Isn't this wonderful? Look at verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Watch this. Works of the flesh now, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't this something? Why do you think the enemy wants to get you in strife? So that you won't inherit the stuff that's for you. Why do you think the enemy wants to get you into envy? Come on now. Why do you think he wants to make you drunk? I'm just saying, notice, that will not inherit the kingdom of God. The things that the kingdom of God provides for you, the peace, the joy, the healing, the deliverance, and the prosperity, it can't inherit it. It's flesh. The enemy has tempted and drawn people into flesh. Y'all see it here? Now notice, witchcraft is under a work of the flesh. And so notice that God, when he puts you in the Spirit, you have dominion over witchcraft. You know, I mean, I could tell you all some stories about this, but I don't have time. But I'm saying that you got dominion over that. All right? Now, let's go on further. And let's go on over to, glory to God. Can we keep going? Let's go over to, Shundra Satala Bahasa. Just stay with me. 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 3. I got to pray up here because I can sense that enemy trying to come against me. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to make it. Praise God. This is a teaching here that you're going to get that the enemy don't want me to put out. But you're going to get it. Hallelujah. This is the house of God. Ain't nobody got no dominion in here but God. Amen. All right, let me know when you get there. All right, look what it says here, and I'll read this starting here at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. Now that perilous there, in one translation it says, times hard to deal with. Another one says, hard times. It's going to be hard to pay your bills. It's going to be hard to get along with somebody. Times, one of them says, of great stress. We're looking to do something to relieve the stress that I'm getting at this job. Why? Because that's the time we're in. Let's go on down and read. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful and unholy. Watch this. Without natural affection. Without, in the last days, we're going to see this thing coming to manifestation that people don't have natural affection. Can I keep preaching here today or is this the right bunch? Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Incontinent means without self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such do what? Turn away. Look what it says up here at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're not suffering persecution, I want to know how you're living. Because they've been talking about me. Are they talking about you? Maybe they can't see any difference between the world and the church. A man cannot serve two masters. Look at the next verse. I'm not done. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that socially here we're seeing a deterioration taking place in this earth. Now, understand, you're in the world, but what? Not of the world. You've got a whole new system inside of you. One of the reasons why Satan doesn't want that system to operate, I'm talking about working the system, is because when it does, it exposes religion and every counterfeit that people would worship in the place of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Another reason why the enemy doesn't want the kingdom of God to manifest or you to work the system, because you operate on an entirely different level. You can see things that the world cannot see. And where he had deceived people in the past, you can show them the light of the world. You can show them the path to walk in. Another reason why the enemy doesn't want the kingdom of God to manifest or the working of the system is because it makes us self-sufficient. I said it makes us self-sufficient. If every doctor goes on strike in the world, we can get you healed. Doesn't make any difference. Say amen to that. It makes it so that you no longer have to go into a booth and confess something to somebody, but you can be in the phone booth and confess it right up to God, and God will wipe away that sin. Self-sufficient. He doesn't want that. That kingdom of God will bring down every denominational wall, because the focus no longer will be on my denomination. The focus will be on his kingdom. Lord have mercy. So now, what is happening? Things are happening in the world. Now, it is extremely deceptive. And this present world system is now failing. Now, it's been failing for a while. And the Bible says that the enemy is so deceptive that if it could be, he could deceive the very elect. That's Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. But he cannot, because you got the kingdom in you. And you're going to operate on a whole nother system at a whole nother level. Now, he wants to make people think that the system that's here in this earth functioning was implemented by God, and it was not. Now, you just stay with me now. Praise God. So now what is happening? Deception and being deceived. I'll just take, if you want, for example, how about Enron? Now, I'm not poking fun or talking about anybody directly, any one person. But Enron, one of the biggest companies in the world, declared bankruptcy. Broke. Now, wait a second. They somehow had a lot of people who invested or who had their pensions, their life savings, go up in smoke. But here's the catch. The company had a certified audit that it passed by one of the most reputable accounting firms in the world. Now we're finding out it was a fox watching the hen house. Come on, let me come over here. I'm not the only one. Enron, some of the other, Tyco, so forth and so on. These companies, they went bankrupt. I'm just saying, look what happened. Deceiving and being deceived. I'm not saying everybody in there knew what they were doing. I'm saying some people may be deceived. But they got it based on a failing system. And Jesus teaches in Matthew 12 that you can't get good fruit out of a bad tree. You can't do it. The tree is corrupt and the fruit's gonna be corrupt. Now it may look like for a time everything is hunky-dory, but the Bible says in Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of the way is death. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Can't you see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about it's all corrupt because it's not based on the kingdom system. It's still based on man's system, which Satan authored. I know I'm stepping on your toes now, but God's gonna heal your toes. Go over to James chapter 1 with me, please. Hallelujah. It's good preaching to me. James chapter 1. See, Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this. Now, I'm not telling you if somebody worked for those companies and so forth like that, I'm not telling you what to do about that and your job and so forth, because God may have placed you there, but he's placing you there understanding that you don't have to live by that system. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm not talking against anybody that's in there. That's not my point. My point is the system. I'm trying to point you to the fact that the system is corrupt. Are you following what I'm saying? Look what it says in James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Watch this. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth what? Sin. And when sin is finished, when it is finished, what does it bring forth? It brings forth death. See, if you got something built and based on sin, it's going to eventually die. Now, as we look at this, we go on down and we find out that last year, 10 million identity thefts took place. Lord, have mercy. I'm talking about the thing is deteriorating now. It says in the last days, perilous times going to come. He told you that. So you get ready. But I got good news for you that if you come off that system, then come over to God's system, in the days that it deteriorates, you shall be satisfied. I'm talking about over here. I'm talking about over here Psalms chapter 37 and verse 19. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, let's look at something else. Lord, have mercy. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. God has designed a system in this earth and put it in you that will produce everything you need in this life. Not just barely enough, but more than enough. Now we need to know how to work the system. All right? We're still on this whole idea about the society is crumbling. Why? Because the root is corrupt. Now let's keep going. Aren't you glad to say? First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. Watch this. And such were some of you. Aren't you glad he said were? See, we all came that route. Come on now. You were always saved. Such were some of you. But thank God I've been born again. Fire baptized. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Something has happened to your life. Now I want to read verse 9 out of the Amplified. Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, misled, neither the impure and immoral, nor idolatrous, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality. Now, I didn't write this. My name is not in this book. This was here written by God. God wrote this. This Amplified is a Greek, the original Greek. They had homosexuality apparently back in those days, and God saw that in a time when perilous times came, he was going to have to write that in a book so that they'll know where they stand. Now, I'm not gay bashing. Don't get me wrong. This is not that time. What I'm telling you is there are some things that are not acceptable by God. Yeah. Say amen to this. Yeah. Now, as you go on down here, can I go a little further, please? Yeah. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18 in the Old Testament. Lord, somebody got to talk about this. Amen. We've been letting this go, and people have been trying to stay popular with people, but you better stay popular with God, because God sent you in this world. You're not in this world just to go along with everything that's in it. You are the salt of the earth. Now, look what it said in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20. Now, I tell you, don't jump up and run out, because I'm going to sew you up. I'm not going to leave you on the operating table split open. Look what it said. Verse 20. Moreover, there thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. In other words, get up and go home. And the other, look at verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now, sacrificing children was something that at times Israel came into because it inherited some of the behavior of the heathen. And they would sacrifice their kids. Now, I'm going to show you how that translates today. Just stay here. Look what it said in verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is, come on, abomination. I didn't say this. He didn't say it is a lifestyle. He said it is an abomination. Remember, deceived and being deceived. See? Some of them didn't get into it because they just wanted to violate God. Deceived. Look what it says next. Neither shall thou lie with beasts to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is a confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Notice why the iniquity is visited upon the land. I mean, notice why the judgment is visited upon the land because of the iniquity that's in that land. Now, I want to show you something here. Because what happens sometimes is people begin to talk about, well, I can't help this and I can't help that and so forth and so on. Now, God has a way for us to get out of things. See, he knew what the Satan was going to do in this earth before he came into this earth. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. I just want to reinforce this because somebody might say, that's the Old Testament. Well, come on to the New Testament. Come on now. Don't turn your TV off. Just listen to what I'm about to say. I'm going to sew you up. I'm going to leave you a way out. Hallelujah. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like to a corruptible man. And to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Lord have mercy. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'll stop right there. I'm here to tell you right now, it's in the Old and the New Testament. Homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle. Homosexuality is not some civil right. Homosexuality is an abomination to God. It's iniquity, and it will draw the judgment of God. Glory to God in heaven. Somebody got to save it. Somebody got to say it. Now you can't go to some people that you know because the whole system has been deceived. The whole system is corrupt. But God is not leaving you like you are. God sent Jesus. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, please. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. I said, let me know when you get there. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It said this in the Amplified. It says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning, and the reason the Son of God was manifested or made visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. That tells me whatever you got, it don't make no difference how bad it is and how deep it's inside of you. God says Jesus has come to turn around, reverse, undo everything the devil did to you. Thank God for Jesus. You see, there are people. What hasn't been taught is the kingdom of God, because in Psalm 103, verse 19, he said the kingdom of God rules over all. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, he said the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He said this is what happened. People have not taught the power of the kingdom. You see, this is what God came to do. Everything the devil messed up, God's going to clean it up. Everything the devil did to you, God's going to take off for you. I don't care how long you had it. It makes no difference. Come on over here to Mark chapter 5. Come on over to Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. Glory to God. Verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. There was no fix for his life. He was going to have to live like that the rest of his days, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Notice what was conducting the affairs of his life. Demon spirits. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Then, for he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? Thy name, he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. I'm telling you, if your condition is caused by demon spirits and they're causing you to do something that no man can fix in your life, that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is still here in this earth today. He left it here with the church, and the church is here to fix any problem that is broke. I'm here to tell you, somebody said, well, I was born like this. Let me tell you, there was a man in Acts chapter 3. He was placed daily at the Temple Beautiful, and he couldn't walk because he was born crippled. His legs were probably born deformed. His ankles were probably half developed. I'm saying there was no hope for the man, but Peter and John passing by, they saw the man crippled. They said to the man looked to them, and he expected alms. But they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Everything in that man's body straightened out, and he was made whole. You say, well, mine is a genetic thing. Go in John in Genesis chapter 30 and 31, and you'll see where God did genetic engineering on some livestock that every one of them came out speckled, spotted, and striped. If God will do it for an animal, you know he'll do it for you. Well, what's up? I tell you what's up. The gospel has not been preached. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every demon possession among the people, Jesus healed them all. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. My friend, all you need to do is repent and come to God and say, God, this thing is possessing me. I want deliverance. I want to be in the kingdom of God, and God will move in your life. We've had people that's been homosexual, and they came in here, and today they'll testify, no more desires for a person of the same sex. No more desires. He'll take the desire out. This man who is a madman of Gadara, possessed with some 6,000 demons, Bible says they came and saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. God is not leaving anybody out. Now you can understand the scripture. In Matthew 24 and 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, watch this, for a witness to every nation. And then shall the end come. Because they're going to see God's power before we get up out of here. Turn to one more place with me. Turn to Psalms 107, please. Psalms 107. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, let me tell you, saints. Psalms 107. You see, you and me are in the kingdom. As we operate by kingdom principles, we'll be preserved from whatever coming in the earth. It makes no difference what's coming. You and I are going to be preserved. And we're going to thank God for it. Say amen to that. Look what it says in Psalms 107 and verse 33. If you have it, say praise the Lord. He turneth rivers into a what? A wilderness. And the wet water springs into a what? A dry ground. A fruitful land unto what? Barrenness. For what? The wickedness of them that dwell therein. Can't you see? See, the economy is linked to lifestyle. The fruitfulness of the land is linked to the folk living on the land. You can't live any kind of way and your land prosper. Folks, as I said before, something is coming. I believe the world system is about to collapse. And I'm warning everyone to change sides. Because when the world system fails, God will prevail. Give the Lord a hand. That's all we have for today. Praise God. Oh! All right, before you leave, sit down for just a moment, please. Before you leave, before anybody leaves, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now, your situation may not be like that we read. Maybe something else. But the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, Jesus died for us. But if you don't accept what he did, you're going to have to take it yourself. In my life, because I went to church when I was down in Alabama growing up as a young boy, I thought I was okay. Oh, I sung in the choir and went to BTU. Did all the things religious folks do. But just because you in church don't mean church in you. So what happened? I got older. And I kind of went every now and then. But things started happening in my life. Body got sick. Head over heels in debt. Job performance started going down. Just things in general just didn't work out. Relationships turned upside down. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. See, when you're running from God, you have hard times. And what happened? One night I just got tired of it. I laid my head back and said, Lord, would you please help me? And God sent somebody by my place at work there at IBM, took me to a meeting way up on the north side of Chicago, and next thing I know, I was a brand new man. I got born again. Not only that, man of God laid hands on me, power of God hit me, healed my body totally. Then listen to the teaching of the man of God, told me how to get out of debt, got out of debt supernaturally, owe no man nothing but to love him. Now, they were calling my job, trying to get money from me through my manager. That's how deep in debt I was. I was supernaturally in debt. I didn't get that way naturally. But look what he did for me. Not only that, turned me around, my job performance went to the top. Number one salesman, downtown Chicago. Not only that, turned my relationship around. Gave me a second chance. You see, somebody here needs a second chance. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Here's what I want to do. I want to call you because I want to pray for you the same prayer that they prayed for me that night to turn my life around. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus tonight into your heart. Leave this place a changed person. Get your sins totally blotted out. All the guilt taken out of your mind. And so you can run again. God wants to make you whole. Prodigal son took his inheritance and went from his father, said, give me my money, I'm going. And left and went to a far country, spent everything that he had. The Bible says that he got out of money nobody would give to him, and he got a job feeding hogs. I'm talking about living much beneath your privileges. Next thing that happened is the Bible says he contemplated on eating hogs food because he was so hungry, and then he came to himself. I believe you came here today because you came to yourself. He said, to live in daddy's house as a servant is better than this. They even have more than enough. I'm going home. Notice, he had to make that decision. God won't force you to come. You must make the decision. He gives you free choice. If you want to leave this place and walk out of here today, just like you came in and never received Christ, God will allow it. Don't think you're pulling something on somebody. He will allow it. He will protect your way all the way to hell. All the way to hell, because he has to honor your free will. But if I were you, I wouldn't go to hell. Not when I've heard how good the kingdom is. I wouldn't do it. Now let me tell you something. Just because you've been in church service don't save you. Just like standing in the garage don't make you a car. You got to be changed. You got to be born again. And there was a man named Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night and said, how can a man do these miracles? Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, what do you mean? Coming out of my mother's womb the second time? He said, no. What's flesh is flesh. What's spirit is spirit. I'm talking about the first birth is from your mama, but the next birth is from God. That prodigal son came, and a long ways off, the father saw him, ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Said, my son who was lost, he's found. He was dead. He's alive again. You see, when you start coming, God runs to you because you are so precious to him. And then he said to bring the best robe and put it on him. God gives you the best that he has. Then he said, put a ring on his finger. He gives you your spiritual authority back. Then he said, put shoes on his feet. He's not a slave. He's a son. God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. Now, this is your day, and don't you miss it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, what they prayed for me that night, that God will do a miracle in your life today. Now, if you want this, here's what I want you to do. You're going to have to take a step of faith. I want you to get up out of your chair, come up here to the altar and stand with me. I'm going to pray with you today that your sins be blotted out. And when you leave this place, you'll never be the same again. Come on up right now. Come on, stand up. Come on up here. Come on, come on, come on. All over this auditorium. Come on down. Come on, all over up here. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. I'm waiting on you. Come on. Don't be trying to fool nobody. You can't fool God, and you sure can't fool the devil. He knows who's on his side. Come on. We're going to get you saved today. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Oh, we got the devil where we want him now. We're snatching you out of his hand. Over here. Come on. Somebody else. Oh, they're coming. They're coming. Keep them encouraged, saints. Keep them encouraged. They're coming. Come on. They're coming from the balcony. Come on. Get out in the aisle. Come on down. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss. This is your day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Come like you are. Don't put it off till next time. Next time may not come. Come on down. Don't hesitate. Come on, you work out your own salvation. Don't be embarrassed because of the people you came with. Come now. Come now. You may not have another chance. Come now. Come now. You may not have another chance. Come now. Okay, I always have to make one more call, because it's always somebody, for some reason, you have a difficult time making a decision. Let me tell you this, if you leave this place today and you don't know Jesus, you didn't come, but something happens to you outside of this place, and you don't know him, you're gonna bust hell wide open, and then nobody gonna pray you out. Now, I'm gonna give you one more call. If you're here in this place today, and you know you need to be here, get up out of your chair and come up here right now. Come on up here. Come on. Come on, they're still coming. Give them a hand. They're still coming. The devil can't hold up. He cannot hold. Take your seats, please. Now, you came here not because I called you. A man can't come this far because a man called him. You came here because God called you. You were on his mind before you ever came up this far. Matter of fact, some of y'all, he's been working with you for years trying to get you this far. But somehow you resisted him. But today, heaven is rejoicing because you came home. You came home. Now, I want you to lift your right hand up to heaven, please, and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now. Just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the world. I renounce my past. I receive Jesus Christ as my new Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, put your hands down. Now, something happened to you when you said that word. Just like when I got married and I said, I do. And she said, she does. And he said, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I do. But today, you said, I do. And now God has put you together forever. Now, in the Bible, there are some instructions. When you get a new car, you get a manual to how to operate it. Well, when you get a new life, he gives you a manual. It's called the Bible. And in it are the next instructions that you are to follow. Same instructions I follow, same instructions they follow, same instructions the first church followed. As you leave this place, you're going into a room right outside this auditorium right here. And I have a minister here. He's going to show you the room and give you those instructions. Just follow the instructions. If you came with somebody, they'll wait on you till you get done. But something has happened. And from this day forward, I guarantee you one thing. Your life will never be the same again, ever. 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 Now, we are glad you came. God is doing something in you right now. Let God continue to work. Follow the man of God. Follow his instructions. And we're going to be praying for you. Turn to your right and follow him. God bless you. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name. Come on, give them a hand till they get out of here. These are new recruits, newborns. Hallelujah. Just tell her to have a seat there. And I'll be right with her. Just tell her to have a seat right there. I'll be right with her. All right. Now, did y'all get something out of this word here today? This is why the kingdom must be preached. It rules over everything. Everything the devil has messed up, Jesus can straighten it up. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Touch somebody's hand. Let's touch and agree. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the anointing that's on this word. We pray for anyone now that has been victimized by the spirit of perversion in any way. We pray for their deliverance, their soundness to come back into their mind, and that they be restored whole. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray for anyone else who is engaging in any activity that is outside of the boundary of the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that you'll give them revelation and give them the way to escape. And I thank you for it. For whomever the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, as we leave this place, but not your presence, we thank you that your love, peace, power, and grace abides with us forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Greet somebody around you, tell them Jesus loves you, and so do I.